Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Thursday, the 13th of February. And first today, we're going to hear from the dad of a Harrietsham woman who died in her sleep just hours after an ambulance was stood down while on its way to her home. Mum of two, Karen Overnall, had called 999 after suffering sharp chest pains in August last year. An inquest into the 43-year-old's death has heard how the initial call handler booked an ambulance, but then Karen was told to sleep and book a GP appointment the following day or go to A&E. Well, Karen's father, Arthur, believes his daughter would still be alive today if that ambulance had arrived. He's been speaking to Kate.
She was found at 9 o'clock in the morning by her partner. And they've estimated that she died something about 2 to 4 hours, which would have been something like about 3-4 o'clock in the morning. So from 1 o'clock to say 4 o'clock, she would have had, I believe that she would have had some chance to survive, because if the ambulance turned up, that would have given her 3 hours. I just feel like if they turned up that when they should have turned up, instead of cancelling the ambulance, she might have been alive now. And my two, I might have still had my daughter, and my two grandsons might have still had their mother.
And does it make you hesitant to rely on the NHS service for your own health, for the health of your loved ones?
No, not at all. I actually said to Gal, if I ever need an ambulance one night, don't phone them. Put me in the car and take me yourself. And I would tell anybody that, because you can't rely on them.
Since Karen's death, the call operator that was responsible for standing down the ambulance has left the service. We don't know if that was on his own accord or whether they were forced. And CCAM have said that they have made changes to the way that they operate. Are you satisfied that this is enough for something like this to not happen again, or do you still hold concerns?
I still hold concerns, because the system is not working. You know, they shouldn't, if they're going to send an ambulance out, they should not be allowed to stop the ambulance from going.
Have you received an apology or any sort of explanation from CCAM at all?
No, not even a phone call to say, I'm sorry, this has happened. The paramedic, what was it, the coroner's call, she was in charge of the call centre and she was there giving evidence as well. And she did come up to me and say that she was sorry. And I did say to her, like, the NHS has let my daughter down and let everybody down. Because this is not going to just go away. This is going to happen time and time again to people. Then it's not fair, because we all work and pay our taxes and national insurance for this system to be put in place. So when we need help, they come out to help us. But they didn't.
And can you tell me a little bit about Karen as a person? You mentioned she's got two boys, and just about who she was as a person and whether or not she suffered any health issues or anything like this before.
She was a great mother, great daughter. She loved her animals. You know, she was always out walking her dogs. At one stage, she had four of them. And a rabbit. She just loved her animals. She couldn't walk past, if somebody was walking up towards her and they had a dog, she could not walk past that dog without stroking it and making a fuss of it. She was a good mother. She was always like making sure the house was nice and always painting something. Yeah,
cook.
they're always great. Yeah, she's a good cook. Yeah.
And by sort of talking to me, talking to Kent online and sharing the stories about Karen, about her as a person and what's happened, what are you hoping will happen? Are you hoping to see big change? Do you think that there's the possibility for big change? What are you hoping to achieve?
I would like to see changes and a better system put in place so this do not happen to anybody else, because it shouldn't be happening, not this day and age, I don't think. If anything good comes of this, then and it don't happen to anybody else, it'll be good.
We are incredibly grateful to Arthur for speaking to us, and our thoughts very much go out to all of Karen's family. The inquest earlier this week heard how a clinical supervisor who's now left his role at South East Coast Ambulance Service decided within 2 minutes of speaking to Karen that her symptoms weren't cardiac based. It was also revealed how an investigation by CCAM found his handling of the call revealed he made the decision from his own experience and without using what's known as the primary and acute care system to assess Karen. He was given an audit score of 50%. The pass mark is 80. Now, as a result of Ms. Ovenall's death, we're told CCAM has made changes to how it operates similar calls. A spokesman for the service has sent us a statement, and it says their thoughts and condolences are with Ms. Ovenall's family and friends at this difficult time. It goes on to say, following a thorough investigation, we have taken steps to improve our training and operational processes, shared learning from the incident with our clinicians, and having attended the inquest, will continue to work with the coroner ahead of their findings. Well, the coroner is due to deliver their conclusion in a matter of days.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today, and a deal man who murdered his pregnant wife more than 25 years ago is due in court to face new charges related to her death. Andrew Griggs reported 34-year-old Debbie missing from their home in Crossroad in 1999. He was jailed for life in 2019. The 62-year-old is now accused of perverting the course of justice and obstructing a coroner in the execution of their duty. A hearing's due at Medway Magistrates. An S man who abused two children and used threats of violence to keep them from speaking out has been jailed. Joshua Ingram admitted 13 offences dating back to 2015. The 24-year-old from Jefferson Road has been locked up for 3 years. Two people have been arrested after an alleged shoplifter reportedly assaulted a business owner in Faversham. CCTV footage recorded at the Nissa local in Preston Street shows the suspect shoving the boss into a freezer while trying to walk out with alcohol. A 31-year-old man and a woman who's 35 have been detained in Tunbridge Wells. A man's been arrested following reports of a theft from a Lidl in Sittingbourne. Police were called on February the 10th after packets of meat were allegedly stolen from the store on West Street and a staff member assaulted. A 43-year-old Rochester man is due in court. Now, next today, members of Kent County Council are meeting to vote on their draft budget for the next financial year. In order to balance the books, bosses are likely to look at a range of measures, including a 5% increase in council tax. It comes at a time when the authorities are facing severe pressure on things like adult social care, children's social services and special educational needs. Well, KCC leader Roger Goff has been chatting to Lucy and says difficult decisions will have to be made.
This budget is set in the context of really severe pressures on our services, which is what councils across the country face, in particular in areas like adult social care, children's social services, and special educational needs. Those are the three big areas where we face pressures. Now, we've made quite a lot of progress over the last 18 months, particularly in two of those areas. So we are, if we look at the current year, we're actually coming in lower than we expected in terms of the costs associated with special needs transport, for example. But we still have a lot of pressures in the areas of adults. We have big programs of change that we're bringing forward, still have to take full effect. So what we're still seeing as we go into this year and the budget we're debating today is a time when the pressures in those areas still exceed the growth in resources we get, even when we've got, as we will be putting forward the application to have a council tax increase that would be at the 5% limit. So that's we are still in a position where we are having to juggle and work quite hard across all the different parts of our activity to ensure that we can deliver a balanced budget, sustain our financial position, because we know that these pressures are not going to go away. So you can't just draw down reserves or do some of those things which perhaps people see as easy solutions. Make a number of savings and deliver a budget which is both balanced and sustainable.
Yeah, you mentioned council tax there, which I know is a big one for a lot of residents and something they're going to maybe not be too happy about, this going up by 5%. Are there any other things you're discussing that will have a direct impact? Is it anything, you know, parking charges or anything like that?
I mean, clearly council tax is the biggest one in terms of its impact on everybody, and absolutely recognise, frankly, none of us likes to see council tax go up. We remain, as I say, in a situation where those areas of service pressure are still pretty intense. And we're not unique in this. This is something that, you know, councils are doing across the country. And in fact, what we saw in the run-up to this round of council budgets is that there were a number of councils who were applying, and some got applications to put in council tax increases above the 5% limit. Now, we never considered that. We don't need to do that, and we've no wish to do that. But those pressures across the sector are pretty intense, and we therefore are certainly having to do that 5% increase, which is not, as I say, something that we would want to do. But we recognise that at the moment there are really big pressures to meet. We are doing everything we possibly can to ensure that services are delivered efficiently, in a cost-effective way. Remember that this is an authority that's taken £1 billion out of its budget over the last decade and a bit. It is not as if there's great bits of fat to be squeezed out. We have to work at this really hard. But even so, even allowing for that, you do get that council tax increase.
Kent Online reports.
Fire crews have been called after a blaze broke out at a home in Deal. Three engines were at the scene on St Richard's Road yesterday afternoon. We're told no injuries have been reported and the cause is now being investigated. MPs have been meeting to talk about how to bring international train travel back to Kent. Eurostar services haven't stopped at Ashford or Ebbsfleet International stations since the pandemic, and bosses have confirmed they won't be reinstated this year either. There have been discussions about other operators stepping in to take over the route. Now, next today, work has started on transforming a Grade 2 listed building in Medway into a state-of-the-art creative hub. The docking station at Chatham's historic dockyard will be in the former police section house. It's expected to take about 18 months to finish and will include a studio, soundstage, workshops and teaching lab. Well, Kate has been speaking to Will Draffin, who's from the Institute of Cultural and Creative Industries at the University of Kent.
We're hoping to bring the whole community in terms of skills and really drive the cultural and creative industries. Medway's really well positioned in the Thames Estuary production corridor to take advantage, but there's been a lack of place where people can gain the valuable creative industry skills to get these kind of high paid and modern jobs in the area. And we aim to bridge that gap. And this amazing project is a way to do it. And it's going to be really exciting to bring this historic building back to life and see everyone in there. There is going to be some community space in there. We're going to have a cafe and digital gallery space. So it really is going to be a place where people can come and be involved, as well as people to start their careers and develop their careers all the way through.
You touched on it there, obviously, with the benefits for the community. It is a place where people can go and be creative and access these facilities. Are we hoping as well that it is going to draw investment from outside of the county, from other places, and sort of make Medway a bit of a hub, a technologies hub?
Yeah, certainly. And it's quite an interesting thing, because one of our partners in this project is Chatham Historic Dockyard and also our other partner, Medway Council. And What people might not realise is that there is a lot of filmmaking and TV production that already goes on the historic dockyard. So, you know, family favourites like Call the Midwife filmed on the dockyard, but there have also been films from the Disney Marvel House, Loki used Slip 5, and the latest working title picture, Pressure, was filmed in part of the dockyard. So there are these really great creative industry jobs for people to do here in Medway. I think people just need to know about them and how to access them. And that's really part of our job. And, you know, the facilities will bring more and more of this into Medway. So it's not about kickstarting it. It's about gaining critical mass and really growing these things. It's computer games as well. We've obviously got Dovetail Games on the dockyard, but we're bringing more in with things like motion capture.
Kent Online reports.
A dog's recovering after being run over by a cyclist near Whitstable. Bonnie, the Chihuahua, was rushed to a vet and put on oxygen and medication for shock after it happened on a path in Swalecliff. Her owner, Justine Gills, has decided to speak out because she's calling for people on bikes to be more considerate.
She was run over by a cyclist on the Tankerton Promenade, and the wheels went over her back, and she was in a great deal of distress and screaming, and within seconds the cyclist had gone off, but he must have been aware she was hurt. Then I took her straight to the vet, who took her in. She went into shock, and they took her in and they had her in for the whole day, and they did x-rays. They had to check for in case she'd ruptured organs or broken her spine, and she had to be on oxygen and medication for shock. I collected her at 6:30 in the evening. The bill was over £1,300. I'm not insured, which is my own choice, and so I paid it, but I really felt that the person who did this took no responsibility, and more importantly, took no care. He didn't seem concerned that he'd hurt an animal. And that was what really upset, that people would do this to each other and not express any form of concern, whether they thought they were responsible or not.
A Kent head teacher has warned parents not to put tracking devices on their children during school trips because it's a breach of privacy for other pupils. Bosses at Whitstable and Seasalter endowed C of E Primary say it's a safeguarding risk as it could reveal the location of others to prohibited persons. They've sent a letter to parents asking them to trust the school. A delivery company's apologised after one of their drivers was caught on camera jumping over a garden fence in Canterbury rather than knocking on the door. If you head to Kent Online, you can see the very bizarre pictures of this one. The owners of the parcel had given instructions for it to be left at the front of the house in Barton Mill Road and were baffled when the DPD courier vaulted their 7-foot fence. They've called it a security issue and called police, who deemed it was trespassing. You can see the footage for yourself and let us know what you think.
Kent Online News.
An empty Kent Uni building is about to be given a new lease of life after being bought by a London developer. The University of the Creative Arts in Rochester is the former home of students like Zandra Rhodes and Tracy Emin, but has fallen into a state of disrepair after closing in 2023. The site on Fort Pitt Hill will now receive a £20 million investment and be turned into 120 luxury homes with rooftop gardens. A pub in Sandwich that dates back 400 years has gone up for sale after closing suddenly last year. The Fleur-de-Lis on Delve Street is also a hotel but has been sitting empty. It's on the market for just under £700,000. If you head to Kent Online today, you can see footage of surveyors who became stuck in deep mud at a Kent beauty spot. The workers were spotted struggling to move at Shellness Point, which is part of the Sandwich and Pegwell Bay Nature Reserve, last Thursday. It's prompted a warning from the council to be aware of how quickly conditions can change. Elsewhere, part of Sandwich High Street is going to be closed for a week for gas works. SGN crews will be working close to the Masonic Hall from the 19th of February until the 26th. Rose bosses say diversions will be in place. And finally today, work has nearly finished on a new rescue centre in Kent for five lions that have been brought over here from Ukraine. The Big Cat Sanctuary has raised £500,000 to create special enclosures at their site near Ashford. Here's project lead Cam Whitnell.
Last year we We undertook our biggest rescue to date, which was rescuing five lions from Ukraine. So you have Yuna, Rory, Vanda, Amani, and Lyra. And it's just been an absolutely incredible project. And late last year, we were able to rescue them all out of the country, but we only had a space available for Yuna at the time. And we had a huge fundraising effort where we raised £500,000 towards building them their forever home. And the other four lions have been in Belgium temporarily. We're pleased to say that the Lion Rescue Centre is literally only a month away from being finished, and we can welcome the final four lions to be reunited with Yuna. They will all be living pretty much individually, other than Amani and Lyra, the two sisters, and that's because all five lions came from the illegal pet trade in Ukraine. So little Vanda, she was discovered in a flat, and then Vanda was in someone's garden. Vanda was in someone's flat. Yuna, sorry, and Amani, Lyra, and Rory all part of people's gardens and houses and private menageries. So none of them have actually lived together. So kind of building them into a pride will be quite difficult. And they all have things that might make it difficult for them to mix as well. So for example, Yuna, she has weaknesses with her walking. She has neurological issues, psychological issues, and that's the same for Rory, the male. So actually mixing them all into a pride will be difficult, but we've kind of tentatively put in some plans where we've kind of looked at which lions could coexist together and live together in like a little mini pride in a way. And we're just going to take it really slowly. And when the time comes, we might hopefully be able to mix them all, like some of them together. So the idea will be Vanda and Yuna and could potentially mix, and then Rory, Amani and Lyra could potentially mix. But that's something that we'll look at over the course of the next year. I think it's putting a spotlight on the illegal pet trade. You know, it's one of the biggest illegal trades in the world, the fourth biggest. And I think with the lions and seeing what they've had to go through in their life, I think ideally we want to be in a position where we can educate people on trying to put pressure on our government, DEFRA, trading standards, APHA, all of these organisations that look after the licensing and regulations and standards of keeping animals as pets, because lions are not pets, as well as so many other countless exotic animals. So really it's just educating people that, you know, licensing and regulations really need to improve.
Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on our socials and you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website today, don't forget, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.